morning. I gave a quick... But it's so good to be back home, and so good to be with you together this morning. And, of course, good to have Kendry's family with us. If y'all would like to speak to them, I know they don't speak a lot of English, but in Spanish, welcome is bienvenidos. So if you can just say anything to them in Spanish, it's bienvenidos. But it's good to have them with us and good to have everyone out this morning. This morning, what I'd like to do is I would like to go into the book of Hebrews. As I said in the Bible class, my meeting last week was on Hebrews, and so my mind has been on it quite a bit. And I really want to ask the question, where did the Hebrew Christians fail? The situation of the book of Hebrews is really somewhat unique. I don't think the exact circumstance of the Hebrew recipients is really found anywhere else in the New Testament. And I want to really figure out where were they going wrong. And I've entitled the sermon this morning, The Basic Principles. And I think we're going to see that their failure related in some way to the basic principles. And the question that ultimately I want us to ask, as we learn from their failures, I want us to ask this. What should be the Christian's relationship with the basic principles? So we'll define what the basic principles are, and we'll talk about, you know, how we come about to see them. But really what I want us to get at is, how should we relate to them? What should be our relationship with the basic principles? So let's go and get into our text after I do a quick survey of the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to take the time to go to these. These are there for your reference. The book of Hebrews is really about a group of Christians who was about to give up. They were just about to lose the faith. Chapter 10, 32 through 34, he describes their situation. And he tells them in verse 35, you have need of endurance. And what he does is he really writes this. It's not a book. It's not a letter. It's more of a sermon. He writes this exhortation, this sermon to them, really just giving them encouragement to keep on keeping on. He writes this to Christians who are going some form of social rejection, and he exhorts them, remain faithful, stay strong, you can do it. And what he's going to do in the book, he's really going to tell them how to endure and how to keep faithful. But then, of course, the question that's going to come from this is, why were they about to give up? I mean, there's other Christians that we see in the New Testament who undergo social rejection. Corinth, Philippi, any church pretty much you want to name of the first century, underwent some form of social rejection. But why were they about to give up? What was the mistake that they made that really leads to them about to just give up on the faith and about to fall from grace and about to leave? What really is it? So let's get into the text together. Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read Hebrews 5:11 down through 6:3. Hebrews 5:11 through 6:3. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, for since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. For solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go into maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's read it one more time, beginning in 5:11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go into maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. For this we will do if God permits. So what really then are the basic principles? How does he define them? Well, there's a few different words that he uses to describe the basic principles, and let's just go through these. In 5:12, he talks about the basic principles of the oracles of God. Okay, the basic principles. 5:12, he describes these basic principles as milk, not solid food. He describes them as the elementary doctrine of Christ and as the foundation. So really, what are these basic principles? What are these basic principles of Christ, these elementary doctrines? Well, I mean, let's think of this from outside the spiritual perspective. In math, of course, it's perhaps easy to think about basic principles in that realm. In math, of course, you got to first start with your addition tables, right? Before you even do subtraction, you have to start with addition. 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 3 is 6, etc. And then once you get that basic, then you get on to subtraction, right? 4 minus 2 is 2, 6 minus 4 is 2, etc. Then once you got subtraction, then you probably go into multiplication, get all those multiplication tables. And then you get your multiplication tables. Then you move on to division. And then once you got division, you go to long division. And then it just gets fun from there, right? You have to get those basic principles. I'm not going to try to teach a 5-year-old calculus. I'm not going to try to teach a 6-year-old analytic geometry. I'm not going to try to teach a 4-year-old multiple regression analysis. Not going to happen, right? They have to get the basic principles. Before someone can learn how fun regression really is, they have to really understand what 2 plus 2 is, what 4 minus 4 is, what 4 times 4 is. You have to get those basic principles. And I think spiritually, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about just those basic principles that should have just been foundational to them. I mean, even within reading, we learn what words are, what letters are, how to read. These are the basic principles. Before you can talk about analysis or any of that fun stuff, you have to get the basics. You have to really get the basic principles. And this, of course, is not something that's just in academic learning, right? In any skill set you have the basics. If I wanted to learn how to become a mechanic, y'all know I'm not the best person with cars, but I had a friend up in Lafayette. He spent an afternoon with me and showed me the basics. He showed me where the transmission was, how to change oil, how to, you know, replace a tire, just basics, basic stuff. Now, if you wanted me to go in and try to replace the transmission, if you wanted me to figure out exactly what's going on, I'm not that advanced, but I got the basics. I spent an afternoon and I got the basics, the bare basics. If I wanted to learn how to carpet, how to become a carpenter, there's the basics, right? You have the basic principles before you learn anything else. Any skill set, any trade, anything we talk about has the basics. Now, in the spiritual context, he refers to these basics as the elementary doctrine of Christ. Well, before we go in and we talk about what exactly they are, I want to make this observation. The basic principles are the foundational teachings of the gospel. Okay, they're the foundation, they're the basic. Well, fortunately, he gives some examples of these in the next chapter. You'll notice in 6, 1 down through 2, he's going to give some examples. Let's read. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. So what he does then in 6, 1 and 2 is he gives examples of the basic principles. So again, in math, the basic principle is 2 plus 2 is 4. The basic principle is 4 times 4 is 16. The basic principle is 5 divided by 1 is 5. In spiritual realms, these are the basics. These are the basics that you gotta know. He talks about repentance from dead works. He talks about faith toward God. Instructions about immersions. The laying on of hands or washings, your translation may say. The resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Brethren, these are the basics. These are the things we have to get down. If we want to teach somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, we teach to them of first importance, 1 Corinthians 15:3, that of first importance, Jesus Christ was died, buried, and 3 days later resurrected. That's the basics of Christ. And once they know the basics of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, these are the basic principles someone has to know. If I want to teach someone who knows nothing about the gospel of Christ, I need to teach them about the importance of faith. We're saved by grace through faith. We have to understand repentance. We have to understand the gospel calls us to repent from sin and turn around from dead works. We have to understand the instructions about the laying. Let me skip the middle two. I'm going to come back to those. We have to understand the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We have to understand there is a day when we're going to stand before God. He's going to raise us and we're going to stand before Him. These are the basics. If someone wants to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is where we need to start. Now, let me just talk very briefly about these middle two. I'm not going to go in a lot of depth. We can talk about this afterward. When he talks about instructions about immersions or washings, this may or may not refer to baptism. Potentially, this could refer to instruction about the washings of the old covenant. And we see that, for example, in Matthew 15. If it does refer to baptism, the question is, why is this plural? And I think if it does refer to baptism, he could be talking about understanding the baptism of Christ from the baptism of John. I don't think it makes a huge heap of difference about what it's really referring to in this case, but just want us to be aware of that context. And then also the laying on of hands. Now, again, for us, this is not a foundation. But from their perspective, they had authority passed on through the apostles, through the laying on of hands. We see this, for example, in 1 Timothy 1:18, where Timothy had given to him the laying on of hands. What I think is the basic for us is authority. That's what it boils down to, is a modern day application. The basic we understand is, where do we get our authority from? We get it from the Spirit who's given us the Word. That's where we get our authority from. And that would be the basic we need to get today. So, brethren, these are the basics. It very well may be that someone is here and has never learned the basics. Let's sit down and let's talk about these. Let's sit down and let's see where to begin. Just like if you want to learn math, you have to start with 2 + 2 = 4. If you want to learn the gospel, we need to start with repentance and faith. We need to start there before we go into anything else. But I'm not going to talk about these the rest of the time, because I want us to note, how does he refer to these for the context of the Hebrew Christians? Now, one note I want to make, I'm not going to take the time to read this, but I think the reason he mentions these specific teachings is these are teachings that relate to the priesthood of Christ. If you do take the time and go over to chapter 9 and read 11 through 14, almost every single one of these basic teachings of this list are repeated in instruction about the priesthood of Christ. And this is going to become extremely important here in a second. So let's just see where we are now. The basic principles are just the foundational aspects of the gospel of Christ before we move on to anything else. But then that begs the question then, what's then the solid food? He says in 5:14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. In this case, he doesn't talk about milk, but in verse 12 and 14, he talks about solid food. Well, what's the solid food? Now, to make it easy, he does not give a list of solid food. He gives a list of the basic principles. He does not give a list of the solid food, so we're going to have to go to a couple other texts to figure out what he means by this. The basic principles are the basic teachings of faith, repentance, eternal judgment, authority. The solid food's not the basic principles. Well, a couple of ideas I want us to note. The basic principles are going to refer to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to chapter 5. We're already in chapter 5. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 9. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 9. He tells us in 5:9, but being made perfect, he who became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after order of Melchizedek. About this we have much to say, but it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Here essentially is what he's saying. He's telling them, Christ became perfect, became our salvation, and he has become our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There's a lot about the order of Melchizedek that I want to say, but you're just not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. You have become dull of hearing, And if I try to explain this to you, you're not going to get it. I think contextually, the solid food that he's referring to is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Remember, they got the basics. They got the basics of faith, repentance, etc. The solid food that he wanted to explain but they just couldn't get is it's something about Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about why this is important in a bit. But let's understand what he's wanting to do here. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Let's say I wanted to teach... I'll pick on you for a second, Kirby. Let's say I wanted to teach Kirby all the great things of multiple regression analysis. This is a statistical technique, right? And I wanted to teach him everything about it. Kirby, do you know how to calculate a standard deviation by hand? He can count to 4. Okay, we'll get you to 5 by the end of our time, we're done. He can only get to 4. He can't do a standard deviation by hand. Now, in statistics, you have to know how to calculate a standard deviation by hand before you can do anything else. That is a basic that you have to get before you can do anything else. Kirby, I can't explain this to you. I mean, I want to show you how great this is, and I want to show you how amazing this is, but you're not going to get it because you don't have the basics. And brethren, this is the idea that he's telling the Hebrew Christians. I want to tell y'all how amazing the order of Melchizedek is. I want to tell you how unique the priesthood of Jesus Christ is. I want to tell you how marvelous his salvation is. But I can't do it because you're not going to understand. You're not going to understand. If I try to explain this to you, you have not gotten the basics. And so you're not even going to get it. Now, let's also reference this with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he's going to talk about milk again. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. Now, let me talk about this very briefly. 1 Peter 2 also refers to milk and solid food. The way that Peter is using it is in a completely different sense from how Paul is using it in 1 Corinthians and how the Hebrew author is using it in Hebrews 5. What Peter's doing in that case is he's talking about our desire. Here, the Hebrew author and Paul are using it in a different case. Let's read 3:1. But brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. But even now you're not ready. Is this a compliment? Oh no, this is an admonition. He's admonishing them, you should be ready for solid food. You should be ready for it, but you're still stuck on milk. I mean, we think of this from the context of a baby, right? You don't feed a 2-month-old a 6-ounce sirloin, right? You don't do it. As much as I love a medium rare sirloin, any more than that, y'all don't even waste a steak. As much as I love it, you can't feed a baby a sirloin. You have to give them milk. And what Paul did, Paul told the Corinthians, whenever I first brought you, I gave you milk. I fed you milk because you weren't ready for the sirloin. At the time, you needed milk, but you were not ready for the sirloin. And likewise, as we think back to Hebrews chapter 5, I want us to note, the Hebrew author does not commend them for being stuck on the basic principles. This is not a positive thing at all. He tells them, verse 12, Hebrews 5:12, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go into maturity. Here is what Paul is telling the Corinthians and the Hebrew author is telling his recipients. You're children. You are babies. You are infants. You should be on solid food now. You should have teethed, and you should be able now to get that sirloin down. But you are still being fed milk because you aren't ready for it. In neither case does he commend them for their focus on the basic principles. In both 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, and in Hebrews 5, 11 following, Paul and the Hebrew author admonishes them for being stuck on the basic principles. It's not a good thing. He admonishes them. You're stuck on the basic principles. Now, what exactly is this solid food? Thinking of it from both the case of Hebrews 5 and 1 Corinthians 3, I think this solid food is the more advanced, and if I can use this word, more spiritual aspects of the gospel of Christ. They got faith. They understood repentance. They understood eternal judgment. They got it. What they did not understand was the spiritual nature of Jesus Christ. They did not understand the spiritual nature of it. And brethren, this is, I think, where another analogy may be in, may be helpful. Solid food is the more spiritual and advanced teaching that requires chewing. Now, let's think through this a bit. Milk, when you drink it, there's no chewing involved, right? Goes right down. I love a good glass of 2% milk. Love, don't feed me that skim stuff. Love a good glass of 2% milk. But whenever I drink that milk, it goes right down. I mean, you can't chew milk. Don't try to chew milk. Now, you can churn milk and you can make it into, you can churn it. Or you can churn cream, I guess. But you really can't chew it. Solid food takes a little bit of chewing. You got to chew on it. You got to get it in your mouth and you got to chew on it a little bit. You have to chew on it a bit more. You're not going to get a whole 6-ounce sirloin down without a little bit of chewing and cutting. You got to slice it against the grain. You get a better steak that way. You slice it against the grain and then you chew it. And then as you chew it, you're then able to get it down. Brethren, there's teachings of Jesus Christ that are like milk. We have to have faith in him. Repentance. There's an eternal judgment. For the Hebrew Christians, and I think for us as well, these are the basics. This is the solid milk. It just goes right down. We know it. And you don't have to chew on it. Now, for some people, this may be a bit more solid. It may be a bit sour to the mouth, and it may take a little while to go down. But for those who are already in Christ, these are the basics. It's like milk, it just goes down. But brethren, there's many other teachings in this book that they take a little bit of chewing. Whenever we talk about the priesthood of Jesus Christ and how the Aaronic priesthood is differentiated from the priesthood of Melchizedek, you got to chew on that a little bit. And I'm not even going to talk about exactly what that means this morning. You got to chew on that a little bit. Whenever we talk about how the covenant of Christ is a fulfillment of, but also different from, the covenant of Moses, to the Hebrew author, that took a little bit of chewing. Understanding how the propitiation of the death of Christ relates to our faith and grace, that takes a little bit of chewing. What he's telling them is, you need to tithe. You have not even tithed yet. You need to tithe so that you can chew on this solid food and so that you can take it in, but I am still having to feed you milk. You've been Christians for a few years now, and I'm still having to feed you milk. I can't even give to you solid food. He's admonishing them, tithe and get out that solid food. Chew on it and get it down. Because that is the only thing that's going to sustain you. And brethren, as we look in contextually why this is so important, the solid food is the only thing that would nourish them and help them endure. So as we think about this and we go back to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, I want us to know why the priesthood of Christ is so essential to the Hebrew Christians. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, and he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those when being tempted. The priesthood of Jesus Christ would show them his loving nature and compassion. It would show them that he is a high priest who is perfect, who is holy, but who is also compassionate and empathetic. And only when they understood how marvelous the priesthood of Christ was. That's the only thing that could help them endure. Brethren, could you imagine trying to live our whole lives on just milk? Could you imagine trying to do a really arduous task with just milk? I mean, y'all see how much I run around up here. Could you imagine me trying to do two sermons and just having a little glass of milk at the beginning of the day and maybe at night, and I'm good? No. Afterward, we're going to get some lunch, and I'm going to get some protein. I may want a steak now. I don't know what we want. But I want some solid food. Solid food nourishes us. Solid food sustains us. The milk may go down pretty easy, but it's not going to sustain us. The only thing that will sustain us is something we chew on, something that nourishes us, something that allows us to endure. For the Hebrew Christians, it was understanding the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That took chewing on. It took a while to understand what that meant. You had to chew on a little while and think about it. And then finally, when you understand and you have this great realization of how tasty, to use the analogy, and how amazing the priesthood of Christ is, there's nothing that can get in my way. I don't care what Satan puts in my way. I don't care what the world may do to me. I have a faithful high priest who has suffered in every way. And he is faithful and he has saved me and his providence will be with me. That takes chewing on. And it takes chewing on to really understand it. But as we go on to the end of chapter 6, I want us to understand his priesthood likewise gives us hope. At the end of chapter 6, he tells them, let's begin in verse 17. Let's begin in verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind a curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Their hope that was a steadfast anchor was because Jesus Christ had put down the anchor of his priesthood. His priesthood was the only thing that could anchor their hope. It was the only thing that would sustain them, but his priesthood took some chewing on. And brethren, I think the question then comes for us. What's our diet? What is my spiritual diet? I could not imagine living on milk alone. I couldn't imagine it. As much as I love a good glass of 2% milk, I could not imagine if that was the only thing I had to sustain me. And likewise, spiritually, if our spiritual diet consists only of milk, we're going to die. Spiritually, we will die. Because when the true difficulties of life come and when the ultimate temptations of life come, that's not going to sustain me. For us as Christians, those of us who are trying to mature in the faith, those of us who in 6:1 are instructed to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go into maturity, we need to start chewing on that solid food. Our diet should be one of good protein and complex carbs and really good fats, right? A complex diet that takes some chewing on. Brethren, spiritually as a minister and as a preacher, if I can take this analogy a bit further, my objective is to take this beautiful feast that God has given to us and to take out the carving knife and to carve it out in pieces and to portion it out on your plates. And on your plates, occasionally I'll fill your milk. Occasionally I'll put some applesauce or something. At times I'll put some good mashed potatoes that are pretty easy to get down. But brethren, there's other times that I'm going to slice up this word. I'm going to get out my carving knife and carve it out, and I'm going to put an 8-ounce ribeye in front of you. Because it is only that 8-ounce ribeye that's going to sustain you. Milk and applesauce isn't going to sustain you. The first principles, while we have to understand them, we must get them. By themselves, they're not going to sustain us. The plate that I put in front of y'all from Sunday to Sunday, it's going to change from time to time. There's sometimes, and certainly we'll have milk and water and maybe a little slice of bread or something. But there's other times where, brethren, I recognize the only way that we are going to overcome is if we have a good diet of solid food. Briefly, how do we get there? How do we mature? I mean, he tells them likewise, we need to mature. He tells them, you need to go into this solid food. You need to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. You need to go into maturity. Well, the way they did this was, first of all, they needed to leave the basic principles. They had to want to leave the basic principles. Now, I'm going to guess the reason Kirby does not know how to do a standard deviation by hand, it's just because he's never really had used to, right? I mean, for me, who I've had lots of classes in this, something I've had to learn, I've had to learn to do this, and I can spit out that equation. Kirby's never really had to do it. He's not seen the necessity. And you don't have to get to heaven and know statistics. You just don't have to do it. But brethren, as a Christian, his desire should be to want to savor every tasty thing that God has given to us in his word. To leave milk and to go on. To get to the advanced spiritual teaching of Jesus Christ. To get to the higher teaching. Because that's the only thing that's going to sustain you, brother. Milk isn't going to do it. It's going to take the solid principles. But we have to want to. We have to want to leave them. And brethren, the method of how we do it is in 5:12. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. What was their problem? They were unskilled in the word of righteousness. They were unskilled. What was the reason at the heart of the matter? What was the chief reason that the Hebrew Christians were about to fall away? What was the number one reason that they were about to leave the faith? The number one reason was that they were unskilled in the word of righteousness. And because they were unskilled, they couldn't chew on the solid food. And they did not even begin to understand the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And because they didn't understand the priesthood of Jesus Christ, they had no way to be sustained through the troubles that were about to face them. Brethren, as Christians, we have to be sustained through the solid food. We have to be skilled in this word. For me to teach somebody math, I start with the basic principles. But then once I get past those basic principles, if I want to teach you statistics, I'll teach you the basics. I'll show you how to do a mean, how to find a median, how to do a standard deviation. But then we're going to go into the higher principles. We're going to go on. We're going to become skilled. If I want to become a skilled mechanic, that one afternoon session isn't enough. I may know now how to change oil and where to find the transmission and what all's under the hood, but I'm not skilled. It takes work, it takes practice, it takes diligence. The only way, brethren, that we are going to mature in Christ, the only way that we are going to advance in Christ, the only way that we are going to grow in Christ is if we want to, and then we use that desire to be skilled in the word. And this word has some places that are milk. But as we develop our taste buds and we develop a flavor profile for the word, every bit of it becomes tasteful. Every bit of it becomes complex. Every bit of it becomes beautiful. Because God has given to us a holy word from his infinite, perfect mind. And that's how we are going to endure. So what then should be the Christian's relationship to the basic principles? Well, the Christian, after understanding the basic principles, must mature towards solid food, that is the spiritual understanding of Jesus Christ, so that then we may endure. Go and please get out your songbooks. Now, whether this lesson was a lesson of milk or solid food, perhaps may depend on perspective. But brethren, we've talked about both the milk, and we've not even begun to understand. Let me use it this way. We've not even begun to bite into that sirloin yet. This message has shown us we need milk. And it certainly may be that there's someone who just wants to take that first gulp of milk and get the basic principles. Let me tell you, whenever you take in those basic principles, it is the most beautiful tasting milk of your life. It's not none of that skim nonsense. It is a good old glass of 2% milk that will sustain you in your infancy in Christ. And we have to start there. Just like you don't start feeding a baby with a steak, you start with milk. There's nothing wrong at all with starting with milk. And we need to start with those basic principles of faith, of repentance, of judgment, of authority, of Christ. We need to start there. But once we get those down, we need to take in the solid food. We need to take it in. And there's certain lessons, and this may be one that you have to chew on for a while. The best lessons I've ever heard are the ones that I walk out the door still chewing on. And then 3 days later, in the middle of the day, when I'm still thinking about it, I finally get it chewed up, and it goes down, and I get it, and it sustains me. That's the beauty of the gospel of Christ. If anybody needs to respond to those basic principles, respond to the basic gospel of Jesus Christ, or perhaps you want to do better, you want to mature, you want to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and leave infancy and move on toward the maturity of Christ, and you want help and you want prayers to do so, come forward while we stand and while we sing.